I love it that there's a commotion in here today on a day when the message is dry bones come alive. So if you're dry today, if you just feel like you're in a wilderness, man, hopefully just what already happened in here did something, because that's just not getting worked up to get worked up about. That's just Jesus, Holy Spirit, just being poured out upon us and us just embracing that. And when we do that, things start moving. Things start changing. Things start lifting. So this word, Sherry Hupp sent me a word this week brought this message about, and I'll share the word at the end of the message. I'm not going to give you the word until after the message, but the word was some scripture. There's just two verses, really, that were with the word, and it was from Ezekiel here, Ezekiel 37, and as I read it, and then I read it again, and then I read it again, and my eyes went to one particular passage, two particular passages. And I'll talk about that as we look at these passages from Ezekiel, and then I'll kind of expound a little bit on why that passage jumped out at me and where I believe the Lord's taking us. So this passage is familiar to many of you. The Valley of the Dry Bones is what it's kind of labeled in most Bibles. But here's what Ezekiel says: the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And as we are going into this, I want you to just think of the world we're living in. There's a lot of dead bones. There's a lot of people who are breathing, but there's no life in them. And I want you to think about us as a body, what we have, who we have living inside of us. So I want you to, this is just all context for as we're reading this. Because we have something to give away. And you may even experience this sometimes when you're in your workplace, or can these bones live? These people that are around us that have no life in them, but they're breathing. And I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know whether these bones can live." Answer to the question. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. I love that response. How often do we maybe get an assignment or get something we're supposed to do and we're like, he did what he was asked to do on the spot. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. So as I was reading this entire passage, this is way more than what Sherry sent me, but she sent me verses 5 and 6. And here's what verse 6 says, because my eyes landed on this and I couldn't stop looking at it. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And I kept looking and I kept praying and I kept, Lord, what is it? What is it about tendons and flesh and skin and breath? What is it about these words that are just, I can't get them out of my mind? Why am I just staring at this verse and reading it over and over again? What is in here that we need to see? And he began to show me. And so I started looking up tendons. And this is just from a physical perspective. I looked up tendons and I looked up flesh and I looked up skin and I looked up breath. And as I did that and I wrote it down and I was like, Lord, what is it about these words? Why is this important for us? And he began showing me. So we're going to look at tendons. This is just information. Tendons connect our muscles to our bones. They let us move our limbs. They also help prevent muscle injury by absorbing some of the impact our muscles take when we run, jump, or do other movements. Our body contains thousands of tendons. And as I looked at that, I thought, the Lord just started showing me, oh my goodness, we're a tendon. We're a tendon. Are you a tendon? There's, you know, a passage we're going to look at later about us being ligaments. Scripture talks about ligaments. We'll reference that here later, but this is us. This is us. And as he's calling dry bones to come alive, we're part of that equation. We are transmitters into this culture, into this world, into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods, into our homes. And so the first thing, we are connectors. Just like it said, tendons connect our muscles to our bones. We are connectors. We're connectors with the people around us. And so we have something to give, something to share, something to pour out. We don't spend this time like we did this morning just to spend time. Yes, we're giving praise to Jesus, and he loves that, and he wants that from us. But he's also pouring into us. He's pouring into us so that we can pour out, so that we can be a connector. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 11 says this, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show to whom? Not just to one another. Not just to one another. It's to people who are looking at your life. People you're interacting with in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, in your children's schools, in your schools if you're a student, in grocery stores, when we're waiting in line somewhere for something. Wherever we are, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side. I love that it's adding difficulty in the middle of this. So I think Pastor Mark even referenced that this morning. Anybody in a trial? Anybody going through something? Worship through it. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but we're not destroyed. We get back up. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. As a tendon, we're connecting with the culture around us that speaks about this Jesus that lives inside of us, even in the midst of our own difficulties, our own trials, so that his life may be revealed. So it reminded me of this snippet from Mike Glick's word he shared at the very end of last year. I've referenced it with our word, go and tell, this year. The brightness of my glory shall go forth from this place, and you shall be carriers of my glory to other places, says God. Know that my glory is in this place, and you shall be carriers, you shall go forth, and people will see it on you, and they'll wonder, and they'll say, what is this thing that we see? It's in you. It's in us. We're connectors. We're a tendon. We're a tendon. What else is part of a tendon? Well, it's one more verse for, about being a connector. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. That's important. That's important. That's an important framework, foundation to start with. Do everything without, because he says there's a response to that. So that, you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine. You will shine. You will shine in your workplace. You will shine in your neighborhood. You will shine in your home. You will shine in your school. You will shine in the grocery store. You will shine while you're waiting in line. Like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life, and then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Connector, a tendon. We're also movers. It's also part of a tendon. There's movement. There's movement there. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch that does bear fruit, when we're bearing fruit, there's movement. There's something happening. There's growth going on, that it may bear fruit. So when there's growth going on, that's tangible. We can see it. I get the advantage of watching growth happen around here. I can see it when a person is growing. Now, I don't see the actual movement of that, but I see change. When we're growing, again, we have something to give. Jesus doesn't just do it all at once. Continually growing, we're still growing. So there's movement. There's movement. As a tendon, there's movement. There's growth. 2 Peter 1, 3-5 says this: is divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world and caused by evil desires. For this very reason, because he's done this, because he's given us everything we need, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection love. I've shared this verse many times. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's movement. There's productivity in this walk as we live life as a tendon. Jesus said, I'm going to put tendons on them. We represent that. And then it also said the tendons absorb things that, like impact, if we're jumping or running or whatever physical activity we're doing, tendons absorb that. We are absorbers. We are absorbers. Have you ever hung out with somebody who's weary, who's struggling, who's grieving, who's... We get to, because Jesus is in us, we get to absorb some of that pain. We get to absorb. Not that we're taking it on ourselves, because Jesus will just, we take it off, he just takes it away. Matthew 25, 35, 40. For I was hungry, you gave me, this is our word last year. It's what we get to do. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we do these things? When did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger invite you in or needing clothes or clothe you? When did we do see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you've done for me. And so when we do these things, when we put these things into practice, we are absorbing. We are absorbing. We're a tendon that moves, that absorbs, that connects. And he says, I'm putting these on these dry bones. And when we're out there in this life, in this culture, dry bones are coming alive. We may not see it all. We may not experience it all. But your being out there, your being wherever it is that you go. The next thing he said, so tendons, connectors, movers, absorbers. Ephesians 4:15 says this, from him the whole body, joined, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. As each part does its work, that's us. Again, wherever we go, wherever we're positioned at any given time, because Jesus lives in us. So then he talks about flesh. Boy, this one I initially was like flesh, because we're not supposed to live in the flesh. We don't ever live in the flesh. We're called to not live in the flesh. We're called to die to the flesh. And that's absolutely right. We're supposed to do that. But the reality is, in this scenario in Ezekiel, God put flesh on them. Mind if I play a little bit? He put flesh on them. And I think sometimes flesh, because we know we're not supposed to live in the flesh, we sometimes give flesh a bad name. Jesus, God put flesh on them. He gave us flesh. And we live and breathe because we have flesh. Now, we're just not supposed to live in it. So we need to recognize that even in with our flesh, because Jesus came to us for us to die to that flesh, but the flesh is still there, the physical parts of that flesh are still there. We have we talk about this when we talk about gifts, you know, when we have to use our gift, we have to actually open our mouth and use it. We have to use that. That's part of flesh, but it's the spirit directing. So here's what the definition says. Flesh are vital organs that keep us alive. And the muscles that make us move. The purpose of the body is to reproduce, to create more units, to carry the brain around safely, to fuel the brain, to provide a structure that carries the sensory organ that provides information to the brain. So there's a lot of things about the brain here. Well, what's the brain for us? Our minds. We're told all over and over again, renew your mind, keep your mind renewed. You know, and this flesh that we live in has purpose. It has purpose. We just have to keep surrendering it to Jesus. And as we do, we affect the people around us. And as I looked at this, we're light shiners. And as we're light shiners, we become that vital organ. We become vital. You know, if you ever think about your environment, think about your work environment, for instance. Sometimes it's dark. Sometimes it's chaotic. What if you weren't there? I sometimes think about these things. I don't know that necessarily that I always have the answers, but I think, what if you weren't there? Would there be any light shining in that place? You, as the carrier of a renewed mind, into a place where there's lots of not renewed minds, lots of minds that are dark, lots of minds that are confused, lots of minds that are in chaos. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So he came in the flesh. Jesus came in the flesh. God put flesh on those dead bones. Jesus now lives in us. He lives in us. The one who came in the flesh comes and lives in our flesh. His own did not receive him, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We get to be vital parts of an equation. And I don't say that to make us egotists or to make us more than what we are. We're simply vessels. We're not more important. But because he's in us, we have value. We have value. We have value for the people around us, whether they know it or not. Whether they know it or not. Your positioning, again, wherever you are, wherever you're working, wherever you're living, wherever you're recreating, makes a difference whether we ever even speak anything about Jesus. Now, there's opportunities to do that, but it starts just by your being there because Jesus is in you. And you're spilling something out without people even ever knowing. Ever have somebody come up to you and say, there's something about you. Many of us have experienced that. There's something about you. You have a peace. Some years ago, I still remember this, somebody said, you have an aura. It's a weird word, but you have an aura. Well, I don't know what that means exactly, but we have something, and that something is a someone, and his name is Jesus, and he lives in us. And because of that, we can affect the atmosphere around us. And because of that, dry bones can come alive. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, so we've crucified the sinful part of our flesh. We crucify that daily with its passions and desires. We don't live that way anymore. We don't, because we have an advocate who came to take care of that. We don't have to deal with that stuff. Not that we're not tempted, not that there's not opportunities, but we have a Savior who died for it, so we don't go there anymore. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And as we do so, this flesh that is still part of my body, still allows me to function, is functioning in a whole new way. That's something that brings life. That's something that spews life. The skin. The functions of the skin include protection against microorganisms, dehydration, ultraviolet light, mechanical damage. The skin is the first physical barrier that the human body has against the external environment. Sensation of pain, temperature, touch, and deep pressure starts with the skin. What is the skin? It's a covering. It's a covering. We have a covering in Jesus, and therefore we are a covering. Now, we don't replace Jesus. We don't replace Jesus. The psalm says this, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Do you know that you're hanging out with someone who's in a trauma, who's in a difficulty? You, in those moments, become a shelter, a refuge. Now, it's Jesus in you. It's never really us. It's never really us. But we're vessels. We're vessels. We can become a covering for a moment, for a period of time, for an hour, for whatever period of time. By hanging out with someone. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And all those things are all about him and all the things that he does. But you know what? We get to be that for someone. We're like Jesus with skin on at times. We're not Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. We're not him. But he lives in us. And we get to represent him. And we get to be that covering. That covering when we're hanging out, when we're ministering. Matthew, Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, and he said this, don't go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. And so that's what we get to do. That's what we get to do. We freely give. As we hear people's pains and their struggles and their grief and their loss and their trauma and their whatever the difficulty is, we get to be an answer to them. Finally, breath. The lungs and respiratory system allow us to breathe. They bring oxygen into our bodies and send carbon dioxide out. Breath keeps us alive. We are affirmers of life. Affirmers of life. Jesus says this very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who will hear will live. Time is coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about you in this equation. Just even now, just visualize someone around you who is dead, not physically dead, but has no life in them. They're breathing. Time is coming and is now when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. They happen to hear that voice of the Son of God through you, through you, through you, through you. It's your breath in my lungs. I will pour out my praise. It's your breath. It's your breath in me. It's your breath. It's his breath in you. That you affirm that you are alive. That you are alive. You're alive because Jesus made you alive. Even in the middle of your trial, as Pastor Mark said, even in the middle of your difficulty, you're not walking around all dreary and worn out. Because Jesus is in you. And in the middle of that, someone's, what? How can you do this when you're going through whatever it is? Because Jesus made me alive. These bones were dead, but Jesus breathed life into me. And even in the middle of my trial, I can speak about life because he gave it to me. I have come, Jesus said, that they have life and have it to the full. See, we live differently. We live differently. We don't look the same. We don't function the same. We don't talk the same. Because Jesus has changed us, and he's still changing us. It's not over yet. It's still happening. It's still going on. So here's this word, February 14th on Valentine's Day. Here's what this word says. I am breathing my breath into you, abundant life. So this was very specific to us, which is why what led to this message. This is for us. We're on assignment. We're living life on assignment. This was our assignment. I'm breathing my breath into you, abundant life. I hear the prayers of the saints. Will this body live? Will you cause us to rise as your army to release your kingdom in the earth? Was the question that was asked in this prophecy. I say yes. This is the time. This is the hour. I'm breathing my breath into you to cause you to come alive. My resurrection power is being blown into you. I say, come alive, rise to your feet and take your positions. And then we have the scriptures from Ezekiel 37, 5 and 6. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You will know that I am God as the bones rattle and come together. Those that come will receive resurrection power, even those that are numb, appearing dead. I'm waking up the sleepy bride. Keep reading a lot about the bride. We're the bride of Christ. Jesus is coming back for a bride, a spotless bride. So the work is being done in us, but the work's being done in us for a lost and dying world so that everyone that Jesus is calling can be saved. I'm calling alignment and positioning to you, abundant life. You will overflow with my life. Overflow with my life. As a tendon, as skin, as living, breathing flesh of the word of Jesus, as breath. I'm calling alignment and positioning to you, abundant life. You will overflow. This is the move you have prayed for. Do not stop or hold back as I breathe new life into you. Again, when we come together in worship, worship is intensifying every time we're together. It's not an accident. It's not anybody trying to work something up. It's not some sort of an emotional response to anything. It's him doing his work among us because he's equipping us to be this kind of a people to a lost and dying world. We have answers. We have things to give away. I'm calling forth the fivefold ministry. I'm causing you to move into position. I'm causing all dead things to fall off this body, my body. I'm causing all dead things to fall off this body, my body. That's us. That's us. The battle has been won. You persevered the attack, sought my face, worshiped through the valleys, climbed up to me, your beloved. You are my beloved, and I am causing you to live, to rise up, to become my army, taking the kingdom by force, not with weapons made by hands. With my love, you will break forth as a battalions of love and truth, breaking all barriers of deception and lies. Why? Because he's sending you out as tendons, as skin, as breath. Yes, even in these things called flesh, but we don't live by the flesh, but we still have it. We still have it. You are one body of anointed ones, each one unique and a vital part. Each one unique and a vital part. I've placed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then those with gifts of miracles, gifts of divine healing, gifts of revelation knowledge, gifts of leadership, gifts of different tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:28. This is the hour of my divine intervention. It's a powerful word. It's a powerful word. And it's to us. Why does the Lord want to speak to us? We're just this tiny little place in New Waterford, Ohio, Columbiana County. No, we don't live in that mindset any longer. We understand the Lord's called us to be difference makers. Difference makers in this life, in this culture, in this world all around us. And we've been given a word. And I have copies of this word that I'm going to put back there on the table. I'll just lay them here for now, and whatever's left I'll put on the table. But it's copies of this word. Take one. Meditate on it. Because each one of us needs to ask, how am I a tendon? How am I living out life in this fleshly body, but with the Spirit of God leading me and empowering me to make a difference so that dry bones can come alive? How am I a covering for someone? What does my breath matter? Why does my breath matter? As we wrap this up today, I had this just had this thought that even today in this place, and some of you may already are resonating with this. Maybe some of you already thought, there's someone I need to be a covering for today. There's someone I need to reach out to maybe this week and get together with, to let them spew whatever's going on in their life, to let them unburden themselves of whatever. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's just a trial. Maybe it's some struggle they're going through. But every one of us in this place today is a vessel. And so my thought at the end of service here is just go minister. Go minister. Or if you're on the other end of that and saying, I'm that person who needs someone to listen. I'm that person that needs. And guess what? We get to say, dry bones, come alive. Dry bones, come alive. Because Jesus is here to do it. So as the worship team comes, and we've already had an amazing time of bowing down to him, of surrendering to him. And if you need to do that again, or do that more, feel free. Or maybe you've never done that. Maybe that's for some of you today. Maybe that's your place of surrender today, is to say, I need to experience what you're talking about. I can't experience that for you. Each one of us has to do that. We're all built differently, so we all respond differently to different forms of worship and different forms of surrender. But surrender has to start with surrender. That's why we surrender over and over and over again. Every day, here I am again, Lord. Here I am again in need of you. Here I am again. So as we go to prayer, just listen. Part of this word is that the fivefold ministry is already functioning here. It's not unknown to us. But we're living in a day where things are coming to a head. At some point, some of this is going to end. As Jesus prepares to return. But until then, he's calling his people to be about what he's about. I said when I introduced this go and tell word, this is all part of this go and tell word. All part of this word for us. But I said he's requiring more immediate obedience. You get the tug on your heart. Oh, I need to call Diana this week. Call Diana this week. I'm just using that as an example. But whatever the nudge is, do it. Do it. Get the ball rolling. I don't know about you, but I can talk myself out of lots of things. If it's uncomfortable, if it's something I've never done before, if it seems too hard, well, that's not me. I don't do that. That's what Marvin does. I don't do that. Lord's bringing us into new arenas of ministry, new arenas of affecting people's lives, and it's going to require of us. Pray. Lord, I just thank you for this word and Sherry's obedience and just even sharing it with me. And then just how you work to bring revelation and understanding of a familiar passage, something I'd never seen before, and how we're part of that equation right now, 2024. Lord, show us how maybe we can be an absorber without taking it on ourselves because we surrender anybody else's issues to you. We can't carry that load, and we don't have to, but we can be there. We have ears to listen. We have shoulders to cry on. Lord, this flesh that we live in, this flesh, we don't live by it in an earthly sense or a sinful sense, but you've given us this to be carriers of a renewed mind to a lost and dying world that needs to know how to find renewal. Given us skin. Skin that protects. That protects. Lord, how can we be a protector of someone who's vulnerable or in a position of weakness for whatever reason? And you've given us breath. It means we have a voice. A voice that speaks life. Because that's what you gave to us, life. So I pray even now as we just wait on you for a minute, that you'll just minister all around this room, that you will speak to people in whatever ways you're leading. You're doing this. This isn't a work of man. This is your work. How we can respond to this word that was spoken specifically to us, Abundant Life Fellowship. Lord, I thank you that you are calling us forth. And yes, that's exciting, and yes, that's scary, and yes, that's all the unknowns of that. But all of that just requires that we stay bowed down, that we listen, we position ourselves to hear your voice. So I pray your hand on each one now. As we go out of here today, let us go out with mission in mind, purpose in mind. Yes, even in the course of enjoying life, in the course of recreation, in the course of hanging out, you can use us. Let us be mindful that our position, our place of employment matters. Where we are matters. Not because we're all that, but because you're all that. And you get all praise for whatever you do with all of this. We say, use us, Lord. Send us, send us. Let us understand where we've already been sent. Lord, do with this what you have in mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can stand.